her power and love,
you love me,
as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy.
Amen.
Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy.
Amen.
I want to see.
Amen and amen and amen. I want to see him, don't you? Yeah, good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like to turn in your scriptures, turn to where we've been reading from Ephesians, and then we'll go to Acts 2. And remember, the announcements have been made, all of the things. Remember, all the sick among us, because there's many people that are out sick and things, and just pray the Lord would bless and be with each one. You know, remember the things or dates coming up for the Father's time together and all. Remember that. Remember all of these that are announced, and just pray that the Lord would bless us all and give us all great comfort and love in the day that we're living. We know that it's a horrible day as far as life, but it's the greatest of all days, because this is the day and this is the hour that we can all depend upon. All right. So let's just go to the Lord in prayer and remember these. Let me get my scripture back. There it is. Remember all of these that are sick. Father, we thank you, and we ask you to just help us now and to guide us. We know that there's many sicknesses among us, and you promised us. You said you'd send your word and heal us and deliver us from destruction. So we believe in it. We thank you, and we ask you to touch each one. Lord, just show your grace and love to all of us, that we may walk in the light of your grace. And Father, just forgive our many failures, because we know we fail you constantly. And let your loving grace be with each one. Have your way now and keep us in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to turn in your scriptures. Turn there to Ephesians. We've been reading this scripture, and we probably keep reading it, because we could read over in Jonah where it uses the word salvation, but I like this where that it shows our journey. See, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Amen. Now let's turn, and we'll get back to this scripture part, but let's turn to Acts 2. We'll go from, just roll it up, we'll go from verse 36 through 38. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. And when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter saith unto them, Repent every one of you and be baptized. Right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Verse 39 says, because it's a promise. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, I gave you the same notes back tonight, because that's what we'll be basically dealing with, that we were dealing with our Sunday. So I want you to think on these things. We're talking about salvation, and what we started out to do is to try to cover an overall view of salvation, and why we used Ephesians, you know, that it's true faith. It's a journey. We're in a journey. So that's what we're trying to talk about now, is to talk about that journey that we're taking, you know, of each one of us. All right? Now, what did we start out with, or what is our point or thought that we were trying to bring? That the Bible tells us the plan of salvation. Okay? Now, see, then it's written right here in the scriptures for us to understand and to walk in. But yet, we get our own thoughts and ideas kind of set on what we think salvation is, and it's totally different from what the Bible is actually saying for us to think about. All right? Now, I tried to cover there Sunday the point to where that we could keep that in mind. Now, I want you to keep it in mind tonight because that's our total thought. I want you to hold a thought in your mind to when did you first hear or was contacted of God? Because now remember, we got it here in the scripture because that is the plan. The plan of salvation is exactly what we do. When the people here on this Acts 2, when they heard the word of God preached to them by Peter about what had happened, what had took place, who this Jesus was, and how he was God Almighty manifested in flesh and all of the things. And then when they heard these things, it wasn't that they just said, well, hey, oh, yeah, we believe that. That's good. We've heard that. Now, remember, the disciples heard it for 3.5 years. So don't just think, you can say, well, we just heard that. We know that. But see, I'm trying to get you to follow the point of this one thing. When did you first hear from God? Because it's your salvation, remember. It's not mine. I'm just trying to talk. I tell about mine, but as telling about my salvation or my journey or things, I'm trying my best to get you to think about your life. Can you remember when you first heard from God? You know, I mean, some contact was made. Something, not the first time you went to church, or first time you done this, or first time you done that, you know. I'm talking about a personal experience. Can you remember that? You know, can you remember, now, I'm not this way, you don't have to remember the day and the hour and the minute and the second that you got saved for you to be saved. Now, don't go that away with me. I'm just trying to make a point of illustration. See, because you'd say, well, I can't remember what day it was. Well, I ain't asking you to remember what day it is. I'm asking you, do you remember what happened? All right. Well, Brother Dale, I've never had nothing like that happen. Well, you know, you ought to be concerned. Because according to the scriptures here, when the disciples, like Peter, when he was bringing this message, the message he brought of the Lord Jesus and what had taken place and all, and you see how long you could spend months just preaching from Acts 1 and 2, bringing it over, and I know I made a little typographical mouth error about chapter 2, 1 and 2 there the other day, so just put it all in the right place and you get it right. Okay, I ain't worried about it. But now listen. See, I remember when I first heard from God. Most of you know my testimony about it, right? Most of you could say, and I could say, well, could you tell me what? And most of you would come up with the point or thought to see, when I was about 10 or 11 years old, I was in a little Baptist church there at home. We were always kind of in the Baptist. Our family was split a little Methodist and Baptist and all coming through the Dale family and all. But we was going to kind of a like a, you wouldn't have called them. We didn't go by independence and all like that here as much as you go up north in the Tennessees, you get into the fire baptized, missionary Baptist, this bad. We were more or less missionary Baptist in this section of the country. All right. It didn't come up with independence and things, but yet there were independents that didn't follow after that, you know, as the big group. Okay. And see this little church back in the woods, back in the country there, we went to church at that place. Well, I can remember it till this day that, you know, I don't remember who was doing the preaching, but you know, when he finished his preaching and gave the altar call, and as he gave that altar call, my little buddy was standing right next to me, and we were standing out, and we were in the church, and looking towards me, it would have been about like where Tony is there, somewhere in the church that, where I would have been standing, and I would have been looking towards the front, towards the pulpit, you know. And as I did, my little buddy even looked at me, and he said, "You better go to the altar." I said, "Lord, dealing with you." Well, I knew something was transpiring, but I didn't know. I didn't know what to do or whatever to do. And I just held on to the bench as tight as I could. All right. And but when I did, then I looked up and I saw over on this side of the pulpit, I saw a form standing there. Now, I've told you before, I didn't see a human being standing there with this, a sword in his hand or these. I didn't see nothing. I saw a form. But it wasn't necessarily just like a cloud or anything. It was just like a form standing there. And my buddy, he said to me, he said, "You better go to the altar." Well, I wouldn't turn loose. And for years then, I knew something had spoke to my heart. Now, I've told you over and over, I do not count that as my born-again experience. Now, I do not. I never have counted it, no matter what I saw or what took place, because I had no one to be able to help me understand what was transpiring. And I even told it later to some of the older men, you know, and they kind of just look at you like, and that's what people do today. So, were you trying to be like Brother Branham? You know, he said, "No, I'm just telling what happened. You can do what you want to." You can say, "Well, you're trying to make yourself something. Do what you want to. I'm just telling it for the truth. It happened. I was there." And see, I count that to point to where God contacted me. And I become, as we read in the Bible, you know, they become pricked in their heart. The word prick means, in other words, you come to a recognition. You come to a point. It's like it's really called a pain. To pain the mind. Something happening to your conscience that you realize something is taking place. All right? As I did, I knew something was there, and I wouldn't turn loose. All right? And I count that as my contact, not as my born again experience. I've taught you over and over about that. That didn't work. Even though it would have been a good experience to tell people about, you know, "I was born again, this happened, I saw God." No, because I don't believe that was the truth. Because see, I wouldn't have went out and done what I done after then. You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't have went out and lived the way that I did after those experiences and things. I wouldn't have went out into the world. I liked the way that Brother Branham made the statement. He said, there was a spirit there that when he was about 12 years old, you remember? He said, "I would have come to God if it hadn't been for that spirit." Now, all right? Now, I believe he had that experience because, see, that's what happened to me. If I would have had somebody to known a little more about God to help me, I might could have moved on further, but that's all right. But from then on, I kind of had a desire. Sure, I was in the world. Sure, I was out there doing the things of the world. But I've told you about it. I remember we moved on up to a little Baptist church there in Gillsville. And as we did, you know, it wouldn't happen today, but the way that church was laid out, you can go down to one side of the old church there. There's a cemetery right behind it. Well, that's where they'd go. The women would go down one side into the woods and get down and pray. Men will go on the other side and get down to pray. And there was the cemetery. I go get my hair cut where the girl that she goes to that church, and we've had lives about those things, and you know, because she knows right what I would be telling her. But you see, there was just something about that. I knew something was dealing with me. But I had no way to explain it or express it. I just went on doing. All right? And I would go out in the world and sin and come home and feel bad. You know, because I had done wrong. See, something was dealing with me all the way down through there. But my journey started that night or that day in church. What is your journey? Where did it start? What's your testimony? Where did you meet God? What was your first contact with a supernatural being or something that happened? You know, when did you realize you were lost? When did you first come to a place of a thought that you was lost? Now, I don't mean this wrong. I mean it straight and truth. But see, in the Baptist church, they really didn't care what kind of a sermon was preached. It was the altar call was the important thing. And in that altar call, they would try to scare you to the altar, beg you to the altar, drag you to the altar, whatever doing. And some of you well remember maybe coming down through there. All right. But see, that's all right. That's no problem because that didn't stop me from the real truth. But you see, what's your journey? Have you ever really just felt like, I mean, a presence of God? Have you ever really felt a presence of Him? I mean, you just, beyond all things that you could think of. I sat down in the woods one day and been praying about Wade and, you know, asking the Lord to be with him and save him and things he had promised me he would. But I was asking him to go ahead and get it done because time was running out, I thought. And things had kind of happened as in the 80s. And things had kind of happened on this hunting trip that we were on. And a few little things in there that some of you heard me tell. But anyhow, I was down there praying and I just got so down and out. Until, you know, it was just crazy. This, Lord, I've asked you, this has happened, that's happened, that's happened. And it looks like you're saying do this, this, this. But it hasn't happened. And I'd ask him to give him a kind of an unusual deer. I didn't mean size-wise, just something different some way or a thought. I wouldn't work asking for a world record, you know, because you can get your kind of your own sales in those things, you know. I wasn't wanting a world record deer. I was wanting something unusual. Well, just about the time that I was so down and out, I'm trying to illustrate something to you to see what I'm talking about. Have you ever had things to happen in your life? Something that's just happened to you and just learned. And here I am. We were back in the woods and, probably half a mile from the vehicles and sitting way back in the woods. And about that time, here come this sweetest smelling perfume that I'd ever smelt in my life. He said, well, did you start saying no. I said exactly probably what a lot of you had said. I said, I'm down here, Lord, trying to work this thing out, trying to get something for you to contact Wade through with. And here some crazy female now is down here in the woods spraying perfume all over the place. Cause it was there. I get down, I'm crying, I get on the ground, I'm having me such a pretty party. It's a wowsy, wowsy woo, as Brother Forney says about it. I get up my stand, I said, I'm going home. I carried my stand back up to the car or the vehicles where we were at. And about that time, here come my truck over the hill and, you know, bounded down through there. Well, they pulled right up where we was at. And Everybody's running out looking in the back of the truck. I finally walk over there, and there was the biggest deer he'd ever seen, you know, of my seeing it by that time, you know. They filled the back end of that truck up. Well, I still didn't think anything right, still didn't think God was in it. I was still just down and out. And I said, looked at my brother-in-law, I said, where'd you get him at? You know, something to the degree, because I knew for certain nobody else in the crowd had killed that big of a deer, because my brother-in-law was a good deer hunter, and he had the hawk eyes, he was good. And, he said, I didn't kill it. I said, you didn't? I said, who killed it? He said, pointed to Wade, you know. Well, now I'm on the other side of the fence. Okay? Now the Lord has taken care of things and done what I asked him to do, and here I am still having a pity party. But at least I'm happy about my pity party about that time, you know, because something was taking place and I could see it. So on the way home, Wade remembers this, I guess. On the way home, I said, son, I'd like to ask you a question. I said, do you think that's an unusual deer back there? I said, not necessarily size or whatever things. Do you think it's something unusual about it?
The way I killed it.
Yeah, well, that's... He said, Daddy, you don't know the whole story. And he got to the stand, and my brother-in-law was good to lead you around all over the place, but he'd get a little twisted sometimes in his direction. You had to help him. But anyhow, and Wade gets it to the base of his, where he was going to put up his stand and to hunt. And he says, Daddy said, I couldn't stand it. I had to use the bathroom. So right out in the middle of the woods, which is contrary to the way we hunt, you know. Okay. He relieves himself. He gets up on the stand and he's sitting up there. Now, this is his story. He can tell you if there's anything different about it. But he gets up on the stand and he sits there. Well, this deer comes out right under him. He's left-handed. And he's trying to shoot it. And his gun snaps on him. Or missed him. That's what it was. Yeah. And he had to reload that gun. Yeah, lever action go... The deer still didn't run off. Anyhow, he killed the deer. All right. But you see, in all of that, the Lord was trying his best to direct me to understand a lot of things. Because he was contacting me. He wasn't contacting him. It was me he was dealing with. I knew that. Because I was having to get myself right. But I'm just asking you, have you ever had an experience? It don't matter where you was, 5 years old, 8 years old, 10 years old, you know, 20, 40, 60. Have you ever had an experience where that you believe God was dealing with you? And he was speaking to your heart. He was bringing you to a knowledge of himself. Right? Now, come on. We'll get into eventually where the prophet covers it, you know, no man sought God at any time, you know, so we'll try to get into those things. See, we put all of that into our own thoughts about it. But I'm just asking you, have you ever had an experience? Because I'm one firm believer in that you must have an experience to be born again. Now, I've always taught you that away, always have believed that. That you must have an experience. See, I believe that there's three stages of grace. We've been through it with the prophet, right? We'll get into the future home later and bring some things on it. That he said from a boy he believed in three stages. Justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost. He believed it typed with water, blood, and life. He brought it all into trying to get us to understand, you know, our own salvation. All right? And having those three things, I'm a firm believer in that you must have three stages of your experience of grace. Well, I just believe it all at once. Okay, we'll get to that in a second now. Don't leave me. Just listen, because I've tried to explain it to you. I believe you can be born again in 3 seconds or 3 years. I'm not concerned about how long it takes. I'm concerned about the fact of whether it takes place or not. It's not how long it is or what it is. Because the disciples, I proved it to you, they were 3.5 years in their hearing and never got saved. But now when the Holy Ghost had fallen to where it was capable of people of being saved, the first experience was maybe a couple of hour sermon maybe, or whatever you'd want to call it, or a 5-minute sermon or something there in the book of Acts, and then 3,000 was added. Well, that pretty well, if you'll look up and read that, you'll see that it covers a pretty well a whole day, because they go out and they do and they finally wind up getting baptized and all like that. And but the Holy Ghost had come on them and give them a new birth. And they're the ones that said this. Now it wasn't just one person that got the whole congregation, the whole thing became pricked in their heart. And they wanted to know what to do to be saved. Have you ever had that form of an experience? Because see, we're going to cover it from justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost as we go along. And see, justification is a work of the Holy Spirit. That's what your prophet said. Sanctification is a work of the Holy Spirit. But he said the baptism is the Holy Spirit. He believed in the three, and I do too. I believe in three stages of grace. That's why where you don't know and have somebody that can teach you of their experience, you don't follow that experience maybe enough and don't know. You watch Brother Branham. Now I'm inviting you to do this. Brother Branham will give an altar call. And he'll say, come down and accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Yeah. Then he'll give an altar call, maybe, and he'll say, all right, now you've accepted him as your Savior. Said, now they got a room over here. Said, go over there and seek the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Okay, now do you need these? We can find them in the message. He said, now, have them do it. Then he says in the church age book that it's not three like different things, but all happens, he says, at one time. Well, all right. He's right. It can happen to her that you can be born again right there. Filled with the Holy Ghost, come forth a born-again Christian. Or you can come up with just being, having your sins remitted. It's really based on the minister that's bringing the message. You remember what I was bringing out the other day? Brother Brown said there was not a man that had the ministry of Billy Graham that could bring people to repentance. But now what did Billy Graham say? Come on. He said, I come here, have an altar call, 30,000 people come back later and can't find 30. He said, but now in the Bible, he said, they went on. He said, what happened? And what did he say? He said, it's you bunch of ministers, a lazy bunch, sitting on in your studies and won't go out and try to help the people and things. Well, really, you know what it was with Billy Graham? They didn't know no more about salvation than he did, and all they could get them to was a repentance. That's wonderful. But we must go on to know the Lord, the Bible says. That's what I'm trying to drive the point. We're in a journey. We go on to know the Lord. We follow on to know him, as the scripture says. But yet, no matter which way you get it, whether it's 2 seconds or 10 years, I'm going to say it, and you hold what you think. You're going to have to come through if the prophet is right.
Amen.
And he says there's 3 stages to salvation. Justification, sanctification, baptism, and Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
If that's true now, whether it took you 3 seconds or 3 years, you're going to go through those 3 stages.
Amen.
Now, is everybody with me?
Amen.
I wanted to make sure to get that good and clear, because I listened to the services, you know, and kind of, I need to hit that a little bit. Because, see, if you're going to believe in 3 stages, now, not 3 works. We don't believe in works.
Right.
The prophet said it's not 3 works.
Right.
He said it's 3 stages, 3 phases
right.
of the same grace.
Amen.
Same God that justifies you is the same God that sanctifies you, the same God that fills you with the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
All right? Now, so get what I'm saying, at least to know what I'm saying. Whether you believe me or not, that's up to you. I don't have anything to do on that point. I can't convict you. But there's people that have gifts, ministries, that they can bring a congregation to a repentant state, especially young children, kids. All right. I'm not going off on nobody. But do they have enough to carry it on? Do they know they need to carry it on? Come on, I'm not against you kids now. I've been playing with you, so you be playing with me. And parents don't get all upset and hooty-dooty with Brother Dale about the way he talks. You come and ask me if you don't understand what I'm talking about. Our kids go to these groups and things like that. But now you know what happens in a lot of that. And I am not against it. You say I am, you are a liar. God help your soul. There's ministers that handle those services that can bring the kids to the altar. Thank God. Thank God. But can they carry them on? Or it's just the same group the next year that goes back and goes back to the altar. That's all I'm asking you. I would to God that I had my life to live back over to help me to find somebody that I could walk with in my experience. And that's all I've ever tried to do with you, is try to explain my experience of what took place to me. I didn't know to call it justification, sanctification, and baptism of the Holy Ghost. None of us knew that. We were Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, you know, some Pentecostals. But you know yourself, you Pentecostals, and I'm talking about on the internet's listening off, you know yourself that most of them didn't know what the new birth was. All they called it was tongues speaking in tongues, shouting, crying, all of that. Where did you ever hear any of them teaching you need to be, you got to be justified and sanctified? See, they didn't know the quote, Brother Branham. Brother Branham said, the purpose of being justified is that you may be sanctified. You mean, yeah, the purpose of being justified is to where you can be sanctified, he said. And the purpose of sanctification is to where it can carry on to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because I'm going to ask the same question when we get into stage 2 of sanctification. Have you ever had an experience? Do you know when God took away the desires for the world and the things from you? Do you remember that? You ought to. You lived it. Or, as I say, get in trouble with saying it, but maybe you didn't live it. Maybe you didn't go through these things because you didn't know what to do. Well, you can't say that now. That's what so tickled me, and I don't mean tickled in the wrong direction. It tickled me right. when Brother Keith Reed wanted me to come to Jamaica to minister to the people of Jamaica, the island people as well as the mainly the island people, I thought, man, I ain't no, because I know what they was. They were oneness. You're talking about oneness. You're talking about ringing down a building, singing on how Jesus was one God. And they firmly believed it. Oh, yeah. They were oneness. They were the true oneness that baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were the ones from Haywood and Seymour's, et cetera, coming down, you know. And they shouted their shoe heels off at one God. All right? They wasn't oneness. I told them even there, I said, oneness in America, most of them needs to get baptized again because they ain't even baptized correctly. The Father, Son, and Holy Ghost here. But they were people that were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because they came down from Haywood and Seymour and what their names were from Azusa Street. But listen, church. Have you ever had it anyway, an experience? Have you ever felt condemned? You know, we're not talking about who's the best preacher, where they can bring it up. I ain't asking questions of that. I'm asking you one simple thing. Have you ever just been totally condemned in your heart for what you were doing? And you ask God to save you. Because there's the point. But see, I'm going to say the same thing when we get to sanctification. Have you ever been sanctified? See, because you can't be born again. You cannot get to baptism of the Holy Ghost until you're justified and sanctified. Now, you show me where you can if you're going to believe in three works. I mean, three stages of grace. Well, I just got it all at once. Well, you went through justification, sanctification, and baptism of the Holy Ghost at one time. All right. Now, I quote Brother Branham. We can keep him, but we know he's right. He said very few would believe all the way. Now, is that true? That's not an argument. You're not going to argue with me. You come to my office, there ain't going to be no argument. We're going to lay down quotes from a prophet and Bible. And we're going to talk about it that way, not in some silly idea. Well, I think it's this way. We ain't got no right to think. Have you ever just been convicted when you were a kid, when you were an adult, whatever? And come to a realization that you were lost without Jesus Christ as your Savior, you were going to die and go to hell. No, I believe the prophet. See, don't go that way. The devil believes the prophet. Don't go that way. We ain't going to talk silliness. The devil believed in one God and trembled about it. Turned around and lied himself to death, taught us a trinity. Right? His ministers as ministers of righteousness teaching us false doctrine. What did the prophet of God say? True prophets bring true birth. False prophets bring false birth. Now, that's his words. Have you ever just been burdened? Because remember now, what was our whole point in the last message? No man can come to God, John. No man can come to God unless God calls him. John 6:44 and then 6:65. No man can come to God or come to him except it were given unto him of my Father. You can't be saved just because you want to. That's where their trouble is. Right. Well, come to the altar and accept Jesus Christ. Well, that's well and good. But is it walking to the altar that saves you? Or is there conviction in your heart? And which one you're going? I'm going with the conviction. I'm going with the point that if you're not convicted, then your salvation is not working. I don't care who you are, what you say. Me, you, or what. Be honest like the prophet said it. That's what caught me, is a man talking like he talked. And God coming down and backing up things. That was not my concern. You've heard my story. When Brother Moat said, you know, what do you believe in? I said, look, you seen the dead raise, the sick heal. I didn't see it. But I said, don't tell me those things to try to get me to see he was a prophet. I said, you tell me what he taught, and I'll know whether he was a prophet or not if he's with the word. Amen. Well, you mean you? That's what I said, and that's what I mean today. If all you can put it on is signs and wonders, you're right in the devil's trap.
Amen. That's right.
Come on, be serious. Brother Branham never put it on that. He put it on whether the word was right or not.
Amen.
But what about it? Have you ever just been so burdened until you couldn't sleep, you couldn't eat, you couldn't do? You ever been that way? That may be the part you need to hold on to as your experience with God. Because remember what we're covering, justification. And Brother Branham says now, in the future home, all justification does is chops off your past sins. This does nothing to the future. Wow. But I come to the altar and I accepted Jesus Christ. What did Brother Branham say? Did you say, I've accepted him, but said, if he hasn't accepted you? Right. And in that, I have it written here in notes to read if I get to it. But in that, he covers Abraham with no man sought God at any time. Well, I cried and I prayed and I sought God and I went this, went that. Yeah. But did you find God? I've heard some of you tell your experiences and I agree with it. I believe it because I know things happen. I've heard people tell about their experiences. They just had a feeling come over them and just rushed over their body and they just felt so sweet and clean and a load of sin gone off of their shoulders and things like that. I believe in every bit of it. I'm not trying to de-Christianize you. I'm trying to get us saved. Well, bless God, you can't tell. That's what I mean. You start that attitude, you prove right there you're lost. Now, come on. I don't mind. I ain't backing up. You start out trying to justify this or justify that, it means you're lost. Why would you think that away? You're lost. You're trying to justify something. Well, Brother Dale, don't understand me. I done this, I done that. Here's a man standing here telling you he's seen God in a church, but telling you that was not his salvation. Why don't you be honest? You won't talk like that. A lot of people would like to have the experiences I've had. That's not bragging. That's telling the God's honest truth. But you see, I didn't have none of them. He brought them all. What did Brother Brown say about Abraham? The Bible says that Abraham believed God and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. He was over there, where was it, Ur of Chaldees or somewhere there. No. God spoke to him and said, get up and go. And he just gets up and goes. He had a lot of experiences. take your son up on the mountain out there and kill him. He had a lot of experiences. But God put it all on the one thing. Abraham believed God, and he counted it or accepted his believing. Now, are we on that point again? Has God accepted your believing? Brother Branham says, if you'll stay there long enough, he'll accept it and fill you with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But see, he don't, if we get it in our ideas and all that this is what happens here, we're going to bring God to a point that this is the only way it can happen. And that ain't going to work. He accepted Abraham's believing and gave him the sign of circumcision. Right? Because he accepted his believing. Has he accepted our believing? I like that scripture. You know, it said, how is it? Do you now believe? Jesus had got to a place there and he's talking to him about some things and all that took place and all. And they're saying, nobody has to teach you. See, we know that now. And he said, do you now believe? Do you believe? Do you believe what you've got is enough to stand on when trials and heartaches and troubles go your way? See, I'm just asking us to be simple. You think, you say, Brother Dale, but you're trying to take away what I've got. Have I said one thing tonight about taking away anything you got? Have I said anything about that something I didn't believe that you would say you believed? Now, get up and tell me if I have. All I've tried to tell you was, I believe in all of those things. I believe in shouting and crying and speaking in tongues and all of the great manifestations. I believe in all kind of manifestations of God. You tell me, but Brother Dale, I done so and so. I've been in the altar. Well, I woke up tonight. Because see, your experience to me is not a 5-second thing to happen. It's over with. It just starts at that period or thought. It must continue all of your life. I believed in a Trinity, yeah, like everybody else. But there's one thing about it. When that word began to be brought to my attention, I didn't have to have anything else to believe it. That's why I told Brother Mold, I said, you was there, you saw it. I wasn't there. But tell me what he taught. Well, what else could it be said to be right? All right. But see, have you ever really just been condemned in your heart? And I'm trying to talk to the children as well as adults. But I'm talking to adults as well as the children. Right. Now, children, you go tell and parents and you think that I'm contrary. No, I've made myself plain. But let's go on with God. Let's don't stop. To me, that's what's wrong. One thing is what's wrong is you ask people about salvation. Well, I've got it. You can't tell me I ain't saved. Well, what are you getting upset for? The point of you getting upset shows you are lost. You don't like it like that. bless God, Brother Dale, now let's go somewhere else. Well, help yourself. I ain't trying to run nobody off. Never have been. You don't walk in this shoes. I pray for the ones that have left here. Do you? Come on. Because you see, I love people. And I want to help them. And what you think about me don't change one thing to me. I want you to have an experience. I've had young children, have parents come to me. Some of you, you'd say, well, my child is so far, or so age, or whatever. What do you think about it? What have I told you? I said, first off, let's just let it ride just a little bit to see whether it's serious or not. You know, see whether they really mean it. Don't just jump in all at once. Just kind of let it ride and say, well, honey, let's study about this and talk about this. And then they'd come back, 5 years old, 8 years old. I baptized a lot of children like that. But it's because of their wanting to be baptized. You mean a 5 year old could have an experience? There's where the trouble's at, old folky. We're going to say something you ain't going to like. Children are a whole lot easier to be contacted of God than adults are. Now, somebody want to argue that point? It ain't what you got to know to get you saved. It's the knowing what you know about the God that's trying to save you. Knowing that He's dealing with you. You ain't never been just condemned of anything? You mean you went through life without? Because come on, listen, folks. I'm on the guy that can bring the quotes to you if you want them. I don't mean that wrong. I mean it right. The soul of an individual. This is the way Brother Branham explains the soul of an individual. A soul of an individual is that part of you that God can deal with. Souls in prison. If he can get that soul to stand still long enough, he said it'll die. He knows how to work on us to get us concerned. But yet we say, well, I've already got it. Like one person said one time, said, well, I've been sanctified and I don't need to be sanctified. Well, according to the seals, sanctification goes all the way to the change of the body. Amen. So we ain't changed yet. Yeah. Right. So according to that now, and what your prophet taught, we need sanctification. Amen. And if Paul taught it, don't you think he knew what he's talking about? Right. Paul taught a daily sanctification, right? Amen. Even after he had come through all of that experience and what he was, being led of God, he still sought God daily as a repentance. What about it? But you say, but you can't tell me, because I've accepted him. All right, did he accept you? Is there any reason for him not accepting you? Could it be that we are getting in the way? Do you think it would have been said of Abraham that he believed God and it was imputed unto him for righteousness if it hadn't have been the fact that he believed God and it was imputed? The Bible tells you what it was. It was counted unto him for righteousness. Amen. Believe in God. What about it? But what is our point now that we tried to bring? Move on a little. Because what's the first stage about your salvation? First stage is number one, is realizing God is calling you. Without that, you're not going to follow God. You're going to have to realize God is dealing with you. And that's known as conviction, or pricking in the heart, or being concerned, or whatever the words you want to use there to show that God has contacted you. And isn't that wonderful? Why did he choose you? You ain't never asked him that. You ain't never asked God why he chose you. I told you about the story of the guy that, the old man there at home, and he preached more funerals than I'd ever preached services. He was so well thought of, it was about 8 preachers done his funeral, and there was probably 15 lined up. I'm talking about a great guy. He was well thought of, no tales about him, no nothing. I knew him and knew of him and the families and things. And I was going down the road one day and talking to the Lord about things, and that guy passed me, or I passed him. I said, Lord, this is back before he died. You know, I said, Lord, I said, why did you choose me? I said, that guy there. I said, he's a wonderful example of a Christian life. And doing and not doing, he was a good guy. I said, why did you choose me and not choose him? See, you can go through all of that big long list of line and get into it and garbage can with me, but you get into all of that. Well, I was a seed and I was this, that. Now, you don't go with me, because I know what the prophet's talking about, a seed. But just remember, a seed without water is a dead, rotten seed. Okay? So don't go that away. But I did. I asked him. I said, Lord. Well, he didn't spend no 30 minutes explaining it to me. You know, he just made a point that maybe somewhere something happened. You know, maybe somewhere that man turned down something. But he didn't necessarily have to do that. I ain't saying he was lost. When we get to salvation enough to where we can express it, I hope that's one thing that's going to bounce off the pages of this message and the Bible to the point that, not the Baptist way, but that you can be saved today and lost tomorrow. Using the very same word saved that you're using for eternal life. Now that's what your prophet says. So we're going to get down to find out whether we believe what he said. Right? Because you see, you say, well, I come to the altar and I repented. The next quote that I've got laying in the back, future home. That just chops off your past sins. It does nothing to the future. The old root of evil is still left in you. Read future home. Justification just chops that sin off. So we can have our sins chopped off every day and still be lost. Because we don't go on to follow the Lord, as the Bible said, and get the baptism of the Holy Ghost, then we prove something wrong. And even foolish virgin has to go so far. They have to come up into a sanctified-like state to be clean, good, moral people. They just don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Well, I always wanted salvation to preach to me, Brother Dale, but I just don't understand what you're talking about. Why? I'm making it so simple until it's a very simple matter of what? Has God ever dealt with you? Has God ever pricked you in your heart? He pricked these here. But see, we want to go on to the other things instead of staying on that. Instead of staying with the fact of dealing whether or not we've become pricked in our heart, we want to go on to the baptism. If you're not justified and sanctified, you're not going to get to baptism. If you do get it, it's going to be an anointing on your spirit. Right? That don't save you. There's people that believe that where the scripture says it, a lot of you older ones remember it, where the scripture is telling about repent everyone and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins and you shall receive the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Remember Brother Branham run into a guy that believed that. Brother Branham was referring back to the account of Cornelius of receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And the man said, how could he do that when he had not been baptized? Brother Branham said, I believe he got the Holy Ghost. Right? Before he's ever baptized. But you see, that's what we've been taught. See, we've been taught ideas and thoughts or concepts that we think is Bible when it's not. Water baptism does not convert you. Right. Let's stay back just a little bit on what's before then. They said, men and brethren, what must we do? They'd repent. There's number one. Brother Branham, Future Home, if you'll read it. He said, first step in our journey, in other words, is repentance. All right? You felt condemned, you felt burdened and worrying about whether I'm saved or whether I'm not, and you repent. You ask God to save you, but mainly you ask Him first to forgive you of your sins. Right. Now, we're on number one starting, but we're in justification. Okay? So I'm asking you up front again. Did your salvation come as a repentance? Or did it come because somebody drug you to the altar, pulled you, done this, got mama done this, daddy done that, they scared me, people scared me into coming to the altar and I accepted. I got in a large group of people that was going to the altar and I went with them. But did you repent? Now remember, Future Home, the prophet said, you don't repent for what Adam done. He said, because you didn't do it. He said, you repent for what you done. So kids and all, don't think you got to repent for this, that, or the other, some thought. It's repentance. The Bible said that repentance and remission of sin be preached in Christ's name. But everything, now listen, everything I'd like to invite you to show me, anything contrary to this statement, everything in your salvation is based upon repentance. Everything. Whether it be justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, adoption, whatever, it's built on repentance. What is it? Mark 11? If you say to this mountain, oh boy, look at there. If you say to this mountain, read right back up above there. You might find a little thing written in there that says something like this. That you got to repent. Well, but it's not based on that. It's based on authority. Is it? Authority is based upon repentance. If no repentance, no authority, come on. It is Him accepting you, not you accepting Him. Everything in salvation is based upon repentance. Right. Bless God, I don't have to repent. I done it one time. Okay. Yeah, it's all right. I ain't trying to convince nobody about anything. I'm just trying my best to preach the truth. So the prophet said the first thing, what? Is repentance. And is your repentance genuine? Right? How genuine is your repentance? Like a man told me one time at our work, he said, repentance is cheap. I said, yeah, that's right, until you hire a lawyer. But, you know, you try to get tied up in money then. To either say, well, I'm sorry. Huh? That's little, I am sorry. When I ask you to forgive me, I said, forgive me of what I've done. Okay? Repentance is to turn around. Right. Repentance is to turn around. Stop going the way you're going and go the other way. I am sorry for what I was doing. I will try my best not to do it again. Because there really ain't no need of you just saying, God, I ain't going to do it again. Because you're just wearing out your words. Best thing to do is say, God, if you'll help me, I'm through with that. Because if you don't take away the desire to smoke, I'm going to want to smoke. If you don't take away the desire to drink, I'm going to want to drink. So God, you take care of it. I'm repenting for what I done. Now you do something to me. You gave Abraham the sign of circumcision. So if you're accepting what I'm saying, come down and take this away. Oh, Brother Tom Farbush, I like that. That was back before he ever heard of this message. But he used to smoke. And he tried to quit, couldn't do it. He said he got down one day and said, now, Lord, he said, I can't do this myself. Something, you know. I can't do it myself. He said, but Lord, would you take away the need and the desire? I said, Tom, you had him right where you're supposed to do it. You ask him to remove the need. He said, well, that's a desire. No, that follows after it. This comes on down into a deeper meaning. I said, you put it to where it's exactly right. Do away with the need of it. Because if you do away with the need of it, the desire of it's going to go. I said, you was right in the word, Tom. You didn't even know it. And God delivered him. He never smoked another cigarette. Because see, God knew what his seriousness. Don't just take away that. Don't let me quit. And then tomorrow see a duck laying on the ground. Pick it up in a hurry. You know what I'm talking about. That's at least what we used to call them, was a cigarette where people had thrown them down. You didn't ever smoke any of them. You didn't ever have a habit of smoking. It was called a duck. You'd pick it up and smoke that wherever. Don't tell any hot stinking thing to run all over it. But you had to have it. But if you take away the desire. We should ask God to take away the desire to sin. Right? Lord, I don't want to do that. I don't want to act like that. I don't want to act like they're acting. I don't want to be like the world. Repent. Lord, forgive me. Because that's the first stage. Now listen to what I'm saying. Number one, if you're listening, you'll follow me. Number one, we covered what? God is calling you. Now remember, what's he calling you to? He's calling you to repentance. Right? So now when it comes to the salvational part, now you're going to read what the prophet said. He said the first step is repentance. He said, well, no, the first step, and no, see, you're trying to figure the thing out. Don't do it. Just listen. If God is calling you, he's got a reason. He knows what he's doing. He's got a reason. He does repent. Just say, Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me and help me. But see, that's the first step back to you. There's where you start your journey. Your journey is not him calling you. Come on. Are you listening? That's why I needed to keep continuing the thought in the message. See, when God is calling you or dealing with you, the first thing you do is repent. Right? What else can you do? You tell me another stage. That's why your prophet was right. He had the future homeland so perfect. He said your first step is repentance. Now, if you were convicted in your heart and pricked in your heart, then your repentance is going to be genuine. Right? Repentance. Now then, just a second. What must we do? Realize God is calling us. Repent of our sins. Ask God to forgive us, and then follow him in water baptism, because that's exactly what it is. It's not water baptism under regeneration. See, you're going too far. But if your water baptism is not correct, God don't have to accept you. Come on. Now, somebody answer that one. If your baptism is not correct and you know it, he don't have to give you the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But if your baptism is correct, then the next verse is what I love. It says, for the promise is unto you.
Amen.
It's a promise of the baptism of the Holy Ghost to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
A promise. Why? Because you followed what God said.
Amen.
You've done what he said.
Amen.
He is accepting you for doing what he said.
Amen.
So repent, everyone, and be baptized. It goes right in there.
Amen.
To save us? No. See, there's a church teaches it that way. Huh? But see, that's incorrect. Let's see if I can pick that up. I don't even know where my own notes is at now. Okay. Okay, number six, brothers. Let's get this. What about your water baptism? Is it essential unto salvation? Okay, let's stay right here for a second. Is water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ essential unto salvation? Well, now, wait a minute. You said it. They were baptized with the Holy Ghost before they got baptized, right? But is, where could we face God? But I told him the story about it in a Bible study I mentioned the other day. I told you about the guy that I kept talking to him about getting baptized. I got him baptized and got a bunch of others baptized there in Doorville to plant. But this guy, you know, I said something to him about his wife and he just kind of, and I detected that, so I'm mean enough to just gouge you a little bit, you know. I don't want to pick you too hard, but I'll gouge you. But I kind of poked him a little bit about it a few days later, and he came back in one day, and he said, my wife got baptized. I said, I thought your wife was in the hospital. Because I knew she was, you know, something was wrong, she's in the hospital. He said, yeah, she is. I said, did you take her out and baptize her? Or did you get a tub full of water, you know, or something? He said, no. He said, God come down and baptized her himself. He said, because God didn't know whether she was going to live or not. Now, I ain't kidding you. That's what he said. He said, God didn't know whether she was going to live or not, so he wanted to get her baptized. Well, you know, right then, I'm backing up, just standing there dumbfounded. How dumb could anybody make a statement like that? Sorry, but it's true. He said, yes. He said, I went in there the next day and said, she just ringing wet all over. He said, I asked her, what happened? He said, Jesus come in and just took a pitcher of water and said, I baptize thee in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Poured it all over. Well, I still, maybe I'm too arrogant and hateful a lot of times, but I didn't want to approach him to try to de-Christianize her. I wanted to do it to him. Okay? So this is what I said to him. I said, John, could I ask you a question? He said, yeah. I said, now you tell me that the Lord Jesus come in and baptize your wife in the hospital bed. He said, yes, sir. I said, well, I'll ask you a question. I said, if my wife told that story to you or to me, that God come in and baptize her in the bed there, I said, would you believe it? He said, no. I said, in other words, what you're saying, you believe your wife. Yeah. See, I knew how to put it back on him. I just laid it in his lap. I said, would you accept my wife saying that? No, because, no, I don't, no. Okay. Listen, folks. Water baptism, I've discussed this with ministers and different ones. If you know the truth, you've got to do what the truth says. If you know to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you got to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you won't do it, you ain't going to get the Holy Ghost. That's bad language, ain't. Well, they done it back. No, God winked at their ignorance when they didn't know no better. He gave the Holy Ghost to plenty of them in Luther, Wesley, and the Pentecostals and all that were Trinitarians, believing in Father, Son, and Holy Ghost and baptized that way. And he gave the new birth. But once it come to a commandment in there and brought it on in to the where we're at, you can't do that no more. God, at one time, the Bible says, I got it somewhere in here, that God winked at your ignorance. But now he commands all to repent. But they've got scripture, Brother Dale. That's really not just going to read this. Look what it says in 1 Peter 3. By which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometimes were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah. While the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved. The like figure, whereunto even baptism, doth also now save us. Stop reading, you got the Bible. Continue reading, you got an answer. Right? What are you going to say? Somebody comes up to you and says, the Bible says that baptism doth also now save us. Peter, you better answer your question. So he did. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. Now what's he saying? Water baptism does not save you. It's an answer of a good conscience. You're doing it because you were convicted and brought under a situation. You're doing it as a conscience point. And to answer a good conscience, you're baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not that being baptized is essential in that way, but the truth is essential. Amen. Well, I was baptized Father, Son, Holy Ghost. What does it matter? I need to be baptized again. I said, yep. I've had some here that done it. Amen. They were teaching back in the denominations, Pentecostal people, of water baptism under regeneration and preaching it in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, some of you can name the denomination it come from, but you know that was the truth. Some of these older ones can know it. They were baptizing under regeneration in the name of Jesus Christ. All right? But did that save you? No. No. See, there's a couple of people here. They finally come to me when I preached on it a little bit one day when I said it like this. I said, I ain't going to say nothing to nobody about their baptism. I'm just going to tell it like this. If I was any of you and was baptized, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, I'd get baptized again. If I was you and baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, or even Lord Jesus Christ, but believing it was unto regeneration, I'd get baptized again. Because you're out of the Word. Well, they become convicted, I baptized them. You say, well, what are you telling me? If I was you, I'd go back and check where I come from. You ask my wife, how was she baptized? She'll tell you in a hurry. She didn't know because it was so cold that day, she couldn't understand what they were saying. So don't go that route. If you believe it was water baptism under regeneration, under some denominational teaching, I would get baptized again because your baptism's incorrect. You can't answer to a good conscience because at least from now on, you'll be condemned. I like Brother Randall when he comes out of way. You ever noticed him? He'll come around, he'll bring something. He said, but from now on. Right? He's telling you from this day on, you're responsible. Okay, listen. So what is it now? Brother Branham, what about the baptism? Okay, let's get to these and we'll quit. Give me just a few minutes. Number 8, brother, which is from the Questions and Answers, 1964. He says, and notice this. Running on up before we can just get to part. He's talking about disagreeing with his wife, you know, about loving her and things like that. Now, if we disagree, it's all right. But you see, water does not remit sins. It's an answering towards a good conscience. Well, it said, repent everyone and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Repentance is for the remission of sins. Do what the Bible says. Repentance is for the remission of sins, not water baptism. It's whether you'll repent or not. Go ahead to the next one, which is really part of that same message. I'm not condemning the other feller, but that's just, I think that's what it is. Water does not save a man. It only shows that he has been saved. It's an outward expression of a good conscience. Go ahead to the next one, communion. Neither do I believe that the baptism of Jesus Christ in the name of Jesus Christ in water does forgive our sins. I do not believe that you, I believe you could be baptized all day long. Now you know what he's getting at. Right. Now I know that there's perhaps people sitting here who come from the Apostolic Church. I mean, or the United Pentecostal Church, which they teach that. But you see, I do not believe that the water forgives sins. Or if it was, then Jesus died in vain. See, if it's just a water baptism, Jesus died in vain. All right. So let's don't go to that. I was just bringing that one. Just bringing that thought to you to where we can get to an end. Justification deals with, we'll get to it, chopping off your past sins. Does nothing to the future. You can call it saved because you're saved from your sins. You repent of your sins, God forgives you. You'll never have to answer for those sins. You'll never go to hell for those sins that he has forgiven you. But get it in the right order. What? God convicted them. Peter preached a message to them, and they become under conviction, and they said, what can we do? He said, repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the promise, see, right?
Amen.
Of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And that's exactly what they done. Right? And they were added to the church about 3,000. All right? So they've started their journey. And you say, well, where did they go from there? Now listen, just to make sure you don't misunderstand me. I believe those 3,000 received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So that's where I explained it a while ago. The other disciples took them 3.5 years. But here it took them an hour, 2 hour sermon, whatever it took. And they were baptized and all that. And they became born again Christians.
Amen.
The house of Cornelius, upon hearing the word from Peter, the Holy Ghost fell before they were baptized. You do not have to be baptized to be. But if you refuse, now, you refuse to be baptized, then don't tell me God's going to bypass you. Come on. Don't tell me God's going to bypass you if you refuse to do the truth. He's not responsible. You're not Abraham that believed God to where God could impute it unto him. You say, okay, Brother Dale, what do you think we need to do? I think you need to pray. Men, women, children, pastor, deacon, trustees, assistant pastor, and pastor. Let's all make sure that our repentance is correct. Make sure that our confession is correct. Now put it on the basis of some idea or thought, because mankind has always done that. Put it on what he says. What can we do? Repent. And go out and follow that the prophet said in water baptism. Right? And then you got a promise. And God can give you the Holy Ghost anytime he accepts you. Because that's one of the quotes I got laying in here. He said, that's fine for him, for you to accept him. But said, he's got to accept you. And he said, if he accepts you, he'll give you the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
I love that. Because I got the promise.
Amen.
Right? I got the promise. The promise is unto me and unto my children. I got the promise. No? Well, Brother Dale, I've never been baptized, right? I'm not going to get baptized. You're trying to tell me that. I'm not going to. Well, go right ahead. You're not going to be saved. Well, you're telling me I'm not saved? Yeah. Any problem? Well, I don't like that. Well, I don't like it either, because, hey, I'm talking for me and you and everybody in here. Because if our repentance is not genuine, I don't care who we are. See, let's repent. And the altar's always open. Now, here's one I love of the prophet. He'll tell you, don't hinder. You know, when the preacher's here and the preacher's doing that. But there's one thing he said that I always remember. He said, anytime you come under conviction, and he said, you come to the altar. He said, it don't matter what's going on. Right? Well, I'm going to wait till it. No, it don't matter. Get it done. Children, think about it and talk to mom and daddy about it. Let's just be honest and sincere. Right? Why shouldn't we be? Why would we want anything else? Come on, musician. Why would we want anything else other than to be honest and sincere with God? Why would we not be that concerned? Right? Think on these things. Have you really, truly ever been convicted in your heart? Have you ever, truly ever followed God, then repented and come to the point of your baptism? And you want that to be correct, don't you? But see, don't stop. Because you see, church, like I said there a moment ago, your prophet covers the whole scale. That's why he says these things. I've faced these things with people in the message, you know, ranks of preachers are saying, well, Brother Branham said it this way. You tell me how else he could say it. Now, you tell me how else he could say anything about salvation that if he didn't just say and leave it as an overall full view of salvation. When he would have to stand and say that it took 3.5 years to bring this group to salvation. But this group could be brought to salvation as just a hearing of a few words. Is he going to tell the Baptists they're lost? He never did. Is he going to tell the Methodists? No, he never did. He said, you need more. I listened, we was there the other night to him where the fellow had the corn and things. He said, yeah. He said, potentially. He said, what are you, we then? He said, Pentecostal is just, what was it? Something. In other words, it's just a further advancement of the truth. What about it? Are we desiring to walk on in God? Or are we just desiring to come to church when we want to and do what we want to and do this and do that and just lag around? That's why Brother Dale don't preach on them things. You know why? Because if you got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you're going to follow what the prophet said. If you don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you ain't going to follow what he said. So you just read what he says. Right? You just do what he says. So it'll prove what we are. Well, I believe everything the prophet said. Yeah. What about it? Our repentance might prove not to be genuine. Let's stand. Go ahead, brother.
Sing number 510. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul.
Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Salvation so full and so free. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole.
Thank you for salvation, Lord.
Oh, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so full and so
thank you for tonight. We pray that what we said would be accepted of you. We've tried. We know we're not understood. But I'm not to be the one to try to explain it. I'm the one to just talk about it to where people can try to get it from you. You come down and you speak to the people. Speak in the middle of the night, speak in the day, speak in whenever. And Lord, just speak a conviction into the hearts of your people that we may all become condemned and want more of you, Lord. Because that's our desire, is to serve you. Be with us. Take care of everybody on the way home. Give a safe journey. Let your love be there. Be with all those that are sick among us and touch them, Father. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. You're dismissed.
For making me whole.